And so society has helped create that, Mr. Bowie. And then we act like we're in surprise of what happens when there's no stability in the lives of children. Is it no wonder that they wind up, you know, headed down the wrong path?
Well, you just encapsulated one of the major issues that are occurring in our country, and indeed, I think all over the world. One of the problems with young boys is that we're trying to assume that young boys and young girls are the same.
Yes.
And we know that they're not. They're just not. And no matter how we try to pretend that they are, we see that the effects of that are having, it's having in our neighborhoods. You know, and one of the things that I believe that we must do is we must believe once again in young boys. Young boys, they want to be challenged. Young boys, they want an opportunity to fail. Right? We tend to focus on, let's shield our young boys from failure.
Right.
So as a result, they never get an opportunity to achieve success. And you push someone by saying, listen, you overcame this obstacle. Now you're a little bit better than you were. And that's one of the things that I don't think we as a community are focused on as much as we once were. And certainly I wasn't challenged as I should have been challenged. And I'm now focusing on challenging those around me to try and keep them going in the right direction. And I think in your new organization or the organization that you run, you probably do something similar to that.
There's no question, man. And so when will our society understand that people don't choose to do things illegally? The society has changed tremendously. Opportunities in this society have changed tremendously over the last 30 years. And so in order to be successful, we act as though life is easy in this country. It's easy to succeed in America. It is not. And so we think that everybody should just follow this cookie cutter plan in life. And that some are able to be fortunate enough to live in neighborhoods and communities and suburbs where everything is there to nurture a person's success. But then there are other aspects of our nation that we aren't willing to talk about. And at the root of what creates young people who don't feel as though they have any hope is that they live in areas that should not be allowed to happen in the wealthiest nation on earth, right? I mean, if you know you've got people who live right now where I live in Milwaukee, and you know that many aspects of Milwaukee are now as dangerous as any place in Chicago, and you think the answer is sending more police in, you don't have an idea, Mark. And I mean, you really are so far off the cliff that the people who keep clamoring for more law enforcement should just be quiet and go just nod their heads and not be involved in conversations because they don't have any clue.
Absolutely. We know that we'll never be able to solve this problem just simply by adding more police officers to the streets and by building more prisons. That hasn't worked. It's caused further devastation within communities, and it's actually created a system that Michelle Alexander coined as the new Jim Crow, where it's creating a system that makes it nearly impossible for people to succeed after getting out. There's so many barriers placed when people do get out, after a person has that felony conviction, that's an area that definitely has to be addressed, including the right to vote. So Expo's definitely been pushing the Unlock the Vote campaign to restore voting rights to people under supervision after people get out. So people who are under supervision for a felony conviction in Wisconsin can't vote until after getting off of supervision. And so that's about 45,000 people in this state right now. And we're also working to expand access to the ballot within jails. And we've been able to successfully push campaigns like Ban the Box. So we're talking about the box on job applications that inquire about conviction and arrest records, which is a huge barrier to successful reentry for many people. And it's got to go beyond that. We definitely know there's so many areas where people are excluded because of that and the conviction record. And that's definitely got to be addressed going forward.
So for people who don't know, Mark, people being revoked. So the average person knows nothing about that verbiage and the impact that that has, and the person who is in charge of determining whether somebody is revoked or not. Let's talk about the impact that that has and why that people should really know what that means.
Definitely. In Wisconsin, mass supervision drives mass incarceration. So the primary reason that the number one reason for prison admissions in Wisconsin is the return to incarceration for what we call crimeless revocation. So we're talking about there's many people who were sentenced under truth in sentencing or before under the old law. And after they get out, they have a term of supervision to do either extended supervision or parole. And some are sentenced straight to probation. But there's a number of rules that people are expected to follow. And people can get revoked for things simply like going into a bar without permission from an agent or failing an alcohol test, or they say that they've changed that.
Failing an alcohol test.
That used
test.
To be one of the rules. Or just simply getting an arrest for a disorderly conduct later dropped.
How about smoking a joint?
Absolutely. That could be land a person back in incarceration for revocation. But there could be even a new charge, too, in some cases that's actually dropped. So the assumption when a person's under supervision is that typically they assume that some sort of criminal behavior has been committed. And so we're basically having to prove that it's opposite. There's no presumption of innocence after you've been convicted already. And so about 3,000 people are going back into the prison system each year who haven't been convicted of any new crime. And so that's about 5,000 people in the state prison system where they're without any new conviction who've been returned. And so it's also a huge amount of resources that are being wasted to detain people who haven't even been convicted of any new crimes, who are back out in the community trying to get on with their lives. But there's this cycle of disruption and instability that's caused by the process of crimeless revocations, where a person can lose a job, they can lose housing, and have to start all over again each time they go in for, even if it's just a short-term hold for a few days or a week, it can be cause a great amount of instability and stress in a person's life. And so we've been working to, like I said before, we've seen some progress in the right direction under this administration, but it's something also, it's not just the legislature, the executive branch has a lot of power too. In this particular policy area and a lot of policy areas, the governor has a tremendous amount of power in this state. The governor has the power to commute sentences. So, and as even said in with the Roe versus Wade decision being made, the overturn, he said that he's not going to criminalize doctors who perform abortions. He could extend that and commute sentences to, for example, in the state budget, he wanted to push for legalization of marijuana, but he could go back, anyone who's in state prison right now for a marijuana conviction, he could commute those sentences. So there's a tremendous amount of power there. And the governor has a lot of control over the revocation process too as well. They can completely change the process through administrative policy changes within the Department of Corrections with or without legislation.
So Mr. Bowie, it's really important that people understand what Mark just said, because if you haven't had, once you're incarcerated and it's not like you're having somebody sit down and psychoanalyze you and you've got your own therapist and they're talking to you about things and so while you're incarcerated, people are working on you and you're working on yourself, and then by the time you get out, you've been psychoanalyzed and now you're this person who is completely changed. All that's happened is you've been incarcerated, right? I mean, and to think that once that person gets out, they're going to all of a sudden be this brand new person after having been taken away from their loved ones. And in many instances, Mark, not close to family where family can visit. And then you've got some person who is the person that oversees them? What do they call them? That oversees them. The what?
Correctional officer?
The people who oversees them once they get out.
Oh, parole officers.
Parole officers. And from people that I've talked to, there are some parole officers who really shouldn't be, because they have personal angst against certain people and they love their power. I'm not saying all, but I've talked to enough people who've come out of that, and they're walking on eggshells. So let's talk a little bit about that, Mr. Bowie. And so people are aware of this. It's not just that people are willing and doing, not listening, and they're being obstinate, and so they need to be locked up again.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to agree with a lot of what you said, but I do want to push back a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think that we can't possibly effectuate a positive change unless we're accurate.
Okay.
And the one thing that we know is that the opposition, they engage in salacious conversations and sensationalize everything. And so what we have to do is not do the same thing that they are doing. So we need to be as accurate as we possibly can. So let's take the example that you use. There are a therapist in prison that will help you work on yourself.
Okay.
There are individuals, for instance, if you were a veteran, you can actually have an outside veteran therapist come in and counsel you there to try and work on post-traumatic stress issues, etc. There are individuals who have been traumatized through rape, through the prison, the PREA Act. They can get services and things of that nature there. So there are opportunities.
So, Mr. Bowie, hold your thought, because I definitely want to give you a chance. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Mark Rice, Sharon Bowie. We'll be right back.